I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for another big weekend across Scottish football. Rangers' injury woes continue with Danilo and Tom Lawrence set to be out until after the winter break. Celtic are out to find attacking reinforcements for their Asia Cup participants. And Barry Robson and Stuart Kettlewell among those managers who could be doing with a win this weekend. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have Simon Donnelly and Hugh Evans.
He's not a lucky man, Danilo. You know, he's had the fractured cheekbone after scoring a goal at St Johnstone. Now he's out until mid-January at least, may require surgery. Tom Lawrence goes with him. And at the other end of the city, Cameron Carter-Vickers will have to be assessed ahead of the Sunday match with Kilmarnock. Celtic would have a problem if Carter-Vickers couldn't play because he'd have to reshuffle central defence and there are not many options there.
And oh, as there you are, say, just maybe not many that Brendan Rodgers likes right now.
Well, when the manager publicly says that neither Navrotsky or Lagabielka are ready to play for Celtic, then you think, A, what a waste of money, and B, what are you going to do now? But as you rightly said, Gordon, Barry Robson, Aberdeen Hearts tomorrow, he is second bottom of the league. For a club of Aberdeen's stature, that is wholly unacceptable. And for Stuart Kettlewell, no wins in 12. And it amazes you to think that only 2 weeks ago they were depriving Celtic of 2 points and now they're bang up against it.
We know the script at this time of year. The games come thick and fast. The players like it. They don't need to worry about training. Game, game, game. And great for us as well, Simon, because we're either reflecting on one, looking ahead to one, or taking one in. That's your only 3 options at this time of the year.
Yeah, and another big weekend ahead. I think from Rangers' point of view, I think with the games falling, well, Celtic's game certainly falling on Sunday, it's a chance for them to apply a little bit of pressure. Celtic, you know, a difficult place to go at Rugby Park, the old cliche, but they found that out in the League Cup, and I don't expect anything other than another difficult game down there for them, especially with Kilmarnock. You know, the confidence will be flying high after a fantastic 3 points at Pittodrie, but lots of games, you know, Aberdeen Hearts, Motherwell, as Hugh's touched on there, you know, a lot of pressure on Stuart Kettlewell at the moment to get a result.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need, so why not give us a call? Please do give us a call. Rangers fans, you want to just rant and moan and complain about your injury record this season, we are here for you. How big a blow is Danilo going to be, and does this mean you're going to rely on serial dessers between now and the winter break? We are talking cup finals, Europa League shootouts, and a certain game against your City rivals here as well. So how big a blow is it, Dessers? Do you try and move Sima through the middle and bring Rabi Matondo in? Are you shuffling things about? How big a blow is it? How would you fix it? There's no Tom Lawrence either at a time when he had been kind of filling in that Nicholas Raskin, Ryan Jack role. So again, how big a blow is that? And are you starting to worry? Because I don't think Tom Lawrence had many injury problems, or too many, before he came to Rangers, but you're really not getting to see much of him. He's starting to worry that it might just be one of those Rangers careers that never really gets past the injuries. Do let us know. Celtic fans, Brendan Rodgers on a number of topics today, talking about obviously the game coming up, the game that's just passed, reinforcements for the Asia Cup, what might that look like? Miovsky's been mentioned this week, of course. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that one. If we're talking about the games specifically this weekend, I am looking at you Motherwell fans. We throw that phrase must win about like there's no tomorrow. Is this a proper legitimate use of must win? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. And to those watching on the live stream, our apologies to Simon Donnelly, who did not get the memo, because Hugh Keevans...
I'm just about to say, I feel very underdressed. You have been delivering milk tray today by the looks of things. And the man, well, there's no surprise how dapper he's looking tonight.
He's been at a wedding. We were both at the Cash for Kids lunch at the Doubletree Hilton. Over £400,000
wow.
raised.
Amazing.
For local children. It was an incredible afternoon. For anyone who's interested in listening to tomorrow's show, we left Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson there.
Uh-huh.
They were well
dangerous.
On their way. So tomorrow could be interesting. But for tonight, we're fine. I was watching your wine consumption from across the table. You were fine.
This is my annual test of self-restraint. And I enjoyed the meal, had a couple of glasses of wine. And Simon, I can now say I have seen Rick Astley.
Uh-huh.
Lewis Capaldi.
Yes.
And sat through GBX set from George Bowie, all in the same afternoon. All fantastic.
Well, I mean, what a combination, has to be said. But genuinely, everyone who was there and contributed, wonderful, a wonderful outcome. Some great money raised. We kind of wish we didn't have to raise that money, obviously. And the sad thing is, there's still more to be done. But a great effort, nevertheless. So 0141 951 1025.
I'm just laughing at that. Who's put that up on the screen?
Oh yeah, there's a sorry. It could have been worse. It could have been the old milk tray man. Although is he a black jacket? I'm not really familiar.
He was all black, wasn't he?
See, this is navy, but it kind of looks a bit black in the old live
smart.
Stream. See, I would take the jacket off, but it's like -4 in here, as everybody knows, because I talk about it every night.
Yeah, I mean,
so there's no chance.
I've hired this suit for the day, and I am wearing it all day to get my money's worth. I might even sleep in it.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. So like we said, whether it is the games coming up this weekend and what they mean and how important they are, Rangers fans, I'm just pretty sure you're going to have injuries on your mind. You want to just rant about the number of them and the frequency of them and the way that they never return from injury when you expect them to. We're here for you, but we need your solutions as well. What are you going to do about it? Who's going to play where in amongst these injuries? It is a big weekend. Let's kick off by hearing from Brendan Rodgers, because it's relevant to some of the calls that are coming in. He says, as for January, may look to sign a new forward. Several of his attackers could be involved, as we know, in the Asia Cup.
It'll depend. Clearly, obviously, we're trying to anticipate over the last few months the guys that will go away to the Asian Cup. So clearly, if Dyson's away and Kyogo's away and O's away, then clearly we would have to do something in the market.
Let's bring in Brian, who's in Burmullock. How's it going, Brian?
Yeah, fine. It's good to speak to you. Nice to see you, Hugh, and as well as you, Simon.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. What you got for us tonight?
Yeah, it's just these transfer windows, it's just ridiculous. You're talking about Milosevic, the Aberdeen centre-forward. See, honestly, he's no... He's good enough for Aberdeen, but I don't think he'd be good enough for Celtic. And they just don't seem to be... They seem to be settling for middle class at the moment. And then when they're in the Champions League, these players are getting found out. Every season in the Champions League, they're getting found out. With the money they've got in the bank, I think they should be looking for a bit more classy of a centre-forward. Mm. Then that way, it's... You know, it's going to benefit them. League... Champions League and the Cups.
There's a hazard here, Brian, because although Maeda, Kyogo and O will all go to play in the Asian Cup, they'll all come back. Therefore, you know, Celtic are unlikely to spend an awful lot of money on a replacement striker, but they will have to get someone.
You could say, though, you know, maybe a striker's needed anyway, and then you're just kind of covering... You know, two bases at once.
O is continuing to grow as a player. I was initially skeptical about how far he could go at Celtic, but his midweek display against Hibs was very encouraging for Brendan Rodgers. You know, I know Brian's raising the subject of European football. In order to find someone who could lift Celtic much higher at that level of the game, they would have to spend an awful lot of money, more than any Scottish club would be prepared to spend. With regard to Majovski, Aberdeen have already said that they'll be very difficult to deal with, but they can't be that difficult to deal with, because he has a certain value and he's not worth beyond that. It'll be a reasonable value, but not as high, I think, as Aberdeen think it should be.
Having said that, though, I mean, Brian's, you know, saying, you know, don't do cheap. You know, don't try and buy cheap. I don't think Miowski would be cheap either. I mean, he's an international footballer. He's come to Aberdeen. He's scored goals in Europe and in the league. You're not getting him cheap.
Listen, we can all have our opinion. I disagree with Brian. I think Miowski would do well at Celtic. I think we mentioned, or I certainly did 3 or 4 weeks ago on this show. Mm-hmm. You know, I think out with... there's not many much better than him in the Scottish Premier League. He's 24. He scored 18 goals last year, 11 this season. I think there's there's something classy about him. I like him. I think he'd be a good signing. Brian's point of Champions League, you have to first and foremost make sure we're there again. You know, Celtic, you have to go and win it. So they're going to possibly lose O and Kyogo for the Asian Cup. I think it would make a lot of sense. He's right on the doorstep. He knows the league, and I think he would score goals for Celtic.
The speculation is that they want $4 million plus from Miowski. I don't think Celtic will go to that extent. I can see them going $2 million plus, but I don't think they'll go as high as $4 million plus.
I mean, Brian, I understand your concerns because we've a long list of strikers that have been signed from other Premiership clubs. Some work, and some don't. But sometimes there is a logic to say that, you know, whatever chances he gets for Aberdeen, he would get much more chances for Celtic and therefore could thrive. Is that not something you would see happening?
I suppose it could happen, but it's just... I'm disappointed at times, with the signings that they bring in. It's like, on what they're saying about the player, is this, he's that, and then when he comes, it's like, he's not as good as what we thought he was. If to get the signings right, I wish they would get somebody in place that knows what's going to happen.
Certainly the summertime activity, Brian, as you can see, has not been the most productive. Luis Palmer, undoubtedly a success. Others like Paulo Bernardo and Thiago Holm are still, the jury's still out on them. Others have been flops, and there's no other word for it. But there's a demand on Brendan Rodgers because the Asian Cup runs mid-January to mid-February. You simply can't negotiate important league matches during that time with the Asian forwards in Asia.
We could spend all night on these comparisons, Simon, because like I said, there are loads of strikers that have been signed and have been good in the Premiership, and when they try and make that step up, whether it is... I mean, Brian's pitched it as he's good enough for Aberdeen, but he's not good enough for Celtic. There's that. There's an ability thing. There's also an expectation, pressure, scrutiny. But on the flip side, you do get more chances. You know, Scott McDonald, I can't remember. This would be your time, Hugh.
Yeah.
Did people phone this show and say, I'm signing a striker from Motherwell, Scott McDonald won't be good enough for Celtic? You look at the big goals he scored. You know, guys like Anthony Stokes. Yeah. I then accept maybe, I don't know, Derek Riordan or Chris Killen or whatever. Didn't have the same impact.
The amazing thing about Scott McDonald, of course, was that he had cost Celtic a title, and some fans were.
I've heard that story. Yeah,
some fans were annoyed, but of course he was doing his very best for his employers at that time, who were Motherwell, and when he got to Celtic, he did a tremendous job for them. So. You know, I think now people are saying, why aren't you looking inward? Because when you look outward, the players that you're bringing in are sometimes of suspect quality. We know the great Lauren Shankland debate about, you know, is he off to Rangers now? Miowski for Celtic, perhaps. That is acknowledging what these players are doing within the boundaries of our country.
What is he like about Miowski, Simon?
I think his hold up play, his finishing, he's clever, intelligent striker. I think inside, outside the box, you know, I've been impressed with him every time I've seen him. Listen, you made a good point there. We had a lad at Dundee United, Nadir Sufji. He scored 18, 19 goals for us. He went to Celtic. Mm-hmm. It never happened for him. You know, I was surprised.
And did you expect that one to work?
I expected him to go and do better than he did, yes I do. Now you could argue he maybe didn't get as many chances as he would have liked, but you made the point there about going to a club like Celtic or Rangers for that matter, and the mentality and be able to handle that. You know, yes, you're going to get more chances, you would like to think, but you have to go and handle that pressure. It's a big pressure. That would be the question, could Majovski do it? He's an international player at 24. I think it would make a lot of sense. There's no guarantee in any signing.
Of course.
When I've seen him, I've been impressed, and I think he would be a good player for Celtic.
Thanks to Brian. It's a good debate you've kicked off. Brian, well done to you. 01419511025. Sean is in Bells Hill. How are you, Sean?
Hiya, how you doing?
Not bad. What's your thoughts tonight?
I've got a couple of points. The first one is on Wednesday, Brendan Rodgers came out and says that Mikey Johnson's doing a bit more, but I just want to find that hearing Simon's point. I think he's doing like one of the best jobs at the park. He's given like his 100%. And I just want to know what Hugh and Simon's point on how Mikey Johnson's doing.
I think Brendan Rodgers has now taken to telling people where they're coming up short, and he feels that Mikey Johnson could be doing more. No one is denying that he made a big difference to Celtic at St Johnston last Sunday when Celtic were struggling. No one is denying that he has come back from long-term injury, a spell abroad, and has begun to make an impression on the manager. But the manager is now telling players that there's more they can do. You know, he had his rant at Perth, and look what's happened since then. Celtic have been a much better side for that. And Mikey Johnson simply has to take the manager's words on board, because it would be very foolish to say, I'm doing everything I can do. There's not any more that I can.
It felt like a really, almost like laying down the gauntlet a bit to Mikey Johnson, Simon. You look at the quotes from Brendan Rodgers, he said that he's arguably the most talented player that's come through the system at Celtic. But he's not a baby anymore, he's 24. If you want to play at a club like Celtic in the starting lineup regularly, you have to have robustness, be mentally strong, competitive, physically brave. It's like he's... Well, it's not like anything, it's fairly obvious. He's just advertising it, not only to Mikey Johnson, because I'm sure he's told him this in private, but to the whole world, that it's sort of... Is it maybe kind of now or never?
Yes. Yeah, as for Mikey... I touched on it during the week covering the game. He's 24. 24 isn't that young in football. You know, he's obviously been away and played in different places. He's got caps for the Republic, which I think has boosted his confidence. He's got the belief of this manager. You know, Brendan said, you know, he wouldn't still be here if he didn't have the belief in him. So that is a huge positive as well. But he's 24. He's playing in an area where it's very difficult. I'm maybe biased. You know, creating goals, trying to be effective in games. He has did that in the last few games. I think he was a wee bit quiet. He wasn't as effective the other night as the likes of Tomoki or Oh, the other two guys that came into the team.
And is that the frustration? Because comes on, makes an impact at the weekend, so then rewarded, and it needs to be a run at some point, doesn't it?
It needs to be, but can you afford to give him the run? That's a difficult thing, you know, and it's maybe the pressure that he will put on himself as well coming into the team. He has had a positive effect. I think he said himself... Brendan alluded to it that he wasn't too happy with his own performance the other night, but this is where he's at. You know, you said it's now or never for Mikey.
I mean, he shouldn't take it as a personal slight, because when Brendan Rodgers went on his rant at Perth last Sunday, he was ranting at Joe Hart, he was ranting at Callum McGregor, he was ranting at Greg Taylor, he was ranting at David Turnbull. We're talking about international footballers here. He was telling them that they were soft and they were weak and they were being bullied. So he started to tell people where they're coming up short for a purpose.
He praised Mikey, didn't he?
Yeah.
He praised Mikey's positive effect.
Sean, we're a bit pushed for time, but go on, squeeze your next point in if you can.
No, but I was about to say, would you give Mikey Johnson a chance at Parkhead to play in the set-up against Rangers, or would you stick with like the Palmer and Maeda? Personally, I think I'd give Mikey Johnson a chance to see what he's got, and if it fails, but I think Celtic are still on the run to win the league. I don't think there's much competition, to be honest.
There's a lot of games to pass. Although it's soon, there's like a lot of games.
Yeah. There are four more games before Celtic and Rangers meet.
And I'm seeing Abada and Maeda, you know, kind of coming back to training
close,
as well.
How great will this impression be? Will it become an even more impressive turn of events for him? There's so many things that can happen over the course of four games.
Well, there is no good news at the moment for you Rangers fans on the injury front. It is Danilo and Tom Lawrence, the latest out until after the winter break. Massive games in there. How big a blow and what is your solution? Get your calls in and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Simon Donnelly are here at 0141 951 1025 for you to join in, so please do. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Rangers fans, what do you make of this news? If you're just hearing it, I can't promise you're going to like it, but give us your reaction and your solution, because Philippe Clement spoke today and confirmed Danilo and Tom Lawrence will be out until at least mid-January.
Tom will be out for sure until winter break. And Danilo will be out also, for sure, that time. Problem with his knee because of a bad tackle in the game. The chances big he requires surgery. Okay, I give my information now about injured players. And I want to focus now on the fit players, because I've been talking enough about injured players last couple of weeks. It's a big blow for the players because they were really motivated. They were ready for the story. They were performing well. And it's now to focus on the guys who are fit, because we have really important games to come.
Martin is a Rangers fan. What are you making of this latest injury news, Martin?
Evening, Gordon, Hugh, Si. How are you doing? All right?
Good, thank you. Good.
Basically, I think his answer's staring straight in the face. Abdelazima. He's got to put him through the middle with Danilo being out injured, because Cyril Dessers, let's be honest, he could put a strip on a traffic cone and it'd be better up front for Rangers than him. He's been totally non-existent, let's just say. But if Matondo's back fit, you put him out on the left, McCausland on the right, and your prolific scorer at the present moment, Seema through the middle.
I asked for solutions. Martin has delivered from a footballing perspective. Simon, does that sound like the best option available?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think the lad Seema's in good goal-scoring form. He likes to run in behind, as we've seen with the goal at Tynecastle the other night. And he seems to be quite composed in front of goal. He's obviously hitting a bit of confidence there. So I think that would be the sensible option. You know, and then you try and fit in, if it is the young lad McCausland, in the wider areas. But I think, yeah, that would make sense to play him through the middle.
If everyone was fit, Seema is the best striker that Rangers have at the moment. It wouldn't matter about Danilo Dessers.
Do you think that could have been something Rangers might have looked at anyway, despite them, even before the injury?
He would have to. He looks so lively. He looks deadly at the moment.
So he got 12 goals this season?
So he's the main man right now. Danilo, very unfortunate. Two bad injuries in such a short space of time. That's just bad luck. I don't know how you can come at it from any other direction. And Clement's response was a very managerial one. You know, look, I don't want to talk about them. They can't play for me right now. Mm. Therefore, they're over there in a compartment.
That's funny, though, because I think another reading of it is almost like he's a bit scunnered with all the injuries, yeah. Though. I know what you're saying. It wasn't, but, you know, you said, I've been speaking about this a lot because he's had to. And, you know, he's the one that made a big deal about, you know, wanting to improve the injuries, yeah. Wanting to be kind of hands-on with it. He sounds a bit scunnered with it all.
In the case of Danilo, I know that Clement has looked at players and has said in so many words, the training regime under Michael Beale was not good enough and players are not fit enough and this can be the cause of injury. But in the case of Danilo, that is, for me, out and out bad luck. He scores a good goal and in the process of scoring, he gets a fractured cheekbone. Comes back and is trying to gather momentum again. and then has an injury which requires surgery. That's not the fault of the previous Rangers management. It's not the fault of the current Rangers management. The guy is unlucky.
And that is the thing, Martin. There's always going to be circumstances. As a Rangers fan, though, when you take it all in, does it just feel like it is just too many injuries? It just feels constant, doesn't it?
Nah, it's just repetitive. Tom Lawrence himself during the week, the guy's just back. He's saying he's feeling as fit as ever and then injured again. It's just right through the team. See, can I add another wee point?
Of course.
About the centre defence.
Mm-hmm.
I read a wee article that Nottingham Forest have actually put Scott McKenna and Joe Worrell out to train on their own.
So that, yeah.
Do you think that's an option that Rangers could look to strengthen the defence?
Which one?
Joe Worrell's been there and done it. Scott McKenna's been in the SPL and done it. But my preference would be Joe Worrell, personally.
Did you like him at Rangers, or is this on the back of the improvement he's made since then? Yeah.
Sorry. I think he's come on leaps and bounds since he left Rangers. He was still a bit raw, but he got Nottingham Forest into the Premier League, and he was a stalwart at the start of the season for them, and now he's just fell out of favour.
You might find Worrell for Rangers, McKenna for Celtic, the way things are going, because, you know, Celtic have got Kobayashi, clearly has been found wanting and will not be required after the January transfer window. Marowski and Lagabielka are in trouble at Celtic. The manager clearly doesn't think they're good enough.
I think they've maybe just not started yet, though, because, I mean, they're both there on long-term deals. The chances of both of them sort of leaving are nigh impossible, probably.
Well, perhaps, but at the same time, they have been there August, September, October, November, December, and the manager has no faith in them,
yeah,
clearly.
It looks that way.
So, you know, I'm not sure that Nat Phillips will be a long-term acquisition. I think he may go back in the January transfer window. Therefore, there has to be a vacancy at Celtic Park, because that area of the side is short on options.
I did see that news from Nottingham Forest, Simon. I know Martin would not have called the night that Joe Worrell left Rangers and said, "Oh, I'm devastated. I really wish this guy would stay." But you take the point. You can't really grumble. Gone down, captained Nottingham Forest, yeah, taking them to the English Premier League. Similarly, Scott McKenna is a Scotland international many times over.
I've seen that with McKenna. What's the story there? Just completely out of favour.
Yep, seems to be.
Yeah, listen, McKenna's been one that's been linked with Celtic before, as you said there. I think both would be decent acquisitions to improve both sides. I think, you know, I think Celtic's, the Lagerbielke and Navrotsky situation, I think Brendan said himself about maybe impressing in training, so yeah, obviously there's something lacking there just now. They're not impressing enough to even go on the bench. So it is a wee bit of a concern. You know, Carter Vickers obviously pulled up the other night with maybe more a precaution thing. But yeah, I think that's a position that both teams would probably look to strengthen.
Martin, sum up the... I was going to say, you know, how big a blow are these latest injuries? Not necessarily suggesting Danilo's been brilliant, or I mean, you couldn't say Tom Lawrence has been brilliant because he's not been available enough to be brilliant. But when you look at what you've got in reserve, as you say, Dessers and some other injuries up there, and then the fact that this period that we're talking about takes in Betis, a League Cup final, and a game against Celtic, does that worry you?
Aye, well, the strength and depth isn't there. It's no there. We definitely need to sign at least, I would say, four players in January transfer window, but I know it's hard. It's hard to even get two players in. But they need to be the right players, not just players for backup. You need players that are going to come in and actually start for the team and improve the starting 11.
The problem with this injury that we're talking about, Hugh, is the January transfer window won't fix it. It's the gate. By the way, it's a good point Martin makes, but to sort of shift it back to right now, those three games that I mentioned, and that's not to overlook Dundee or whoever else Rangers play, but they could be three season defining games.
Yeah.
That whether Danilo and Tom Lawrence have been outstanding or not, they'd rather have those players playing. They can't afford to keep having everyone dropping like flies.
Sure. And Celtic have pretty much the same problem. But I don't think the Rangers squad is threadbare to the extent that it's necessarily a fatal problem with regard to the cup final. could you wish for a better time to take on an Aberdeen team currently second bottom of the league? By the time they get to Celtic Park, who knows what damage has or has not been done by Celtic and Rangers. They each have four league games to play. Tom Lawrence wasn't in the team often enough to be considered a serious loss.
They just said, you know, it's because it's coupled with the fact that he's playing in Nicholas Raskin and Ryan Jack's place because they're injured. It's an accumulation, isn't it?
Yeah, but at the same time, if you flip the coin, Seema has now emerged as a real threat. McCausland has emerged as a dangerous player and a fan's favourite. So, Danilo, with respect to the man, was trying his best and has been bedevilled by bad luck. But he and Lawrence were not automatic choices.
Well, I think Danilo was at the moment, no?
Well, I think, I know Lawrence has had his problems with injuries, but I think, and well, his team reflected
the last two games.
I think those two games, I think they play in the manager's best 11 just now, if fit. I think Danilo's the top striker, surely.
Let's thank Martin and bring in Gav, who's in Drumchapel. How's it going, Gav?
All right, guys, thanks very much for taking my call.
Our pleasure. What have you got?
It's basically down to the Lawrence kind of situation. Mm-hmm. I'm saying the Lawrence situation. The Hearts player who was coming in.
Shankland.
Lawrence, thank you very much. It was just about him. I was just saying that I think that would be a really good move for Rangers, purely down to the basis that the boy's played in Scotland. He knows what the pitches are like. He knows what the weather's like. I think if they were to go shopping elsewhere, it's then bringing somebody from our country in, potentially, to then obviously to try and get used to all these pitches. Obviously, a couple of the plastic pitches like Livingston and Kilmarnock, then it may be down to the weather. But you can see with Dessers as well. Dessers has came in. I think that deal was just there £4 million, and the guy's a dud, and it's no fair on him either. But and with Danilo, I know Danilo's obviously scored a couple of goals, but I still don't think he's kind of landed on his feet yet.
See, in Drumchapel, they don't mess their words.
He's a dud.
He's a dud.
We go early as well. We make up our minds early.
You know, Shankland, it's reaching a crescendo now. I mean, people are even reading into the hug that he was given by Philippe Clement at the end of the game at Tynecastle, saying, well, that's it. Whispered in his ear, I'll see you in January. But such is life in Scottish football. Lawrence Shankly could go to Rangers and Miosky could go to Celtic and leave two teams, two of the top five teams in Scotland, minus big players.
But in the money. I mean, Philippe Clement, I'm sure he knew by now that everything would be scrutinised here. But if he didn't know, he must be realising when he rocks up at his press conference today and is asked about the hug. So he claims there was nothing said between the pair, him and Lauren Shankland, after the game, despite these links.
So I need to think really good in the future what I do every second of the day. No, I greeted all the players of Hearts that I met along the way. Was nothing really special there.
Well, I heard they said, what's your sort code and account number?
Thank you to Gav, 01419511025. Before we go any further, let me tell you about this.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas, with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
As we said earlier, Hugh Keevans and I have come from the Cash for Kids lunch, hence the slightly more formal than usual attire. And it was an outstanding afternoon with so much money raised, over £400,000. We can't thank you enough if you contributed to that. But here's the thing, that is obviously a lot of money, and it sounds a lot of money, but the scary thing is we actually need to do much more than that. That's how bad the situation is for lots of children on our doorstep that, you know, won't have heating or clothes or food or whatever it may be this Christmas. So there's still a lot for us to do, and we need your help. Now, thanks to Arnold Clark, we have not only got the chance for you to give something back and give a donation and make a difference, but you could also win yourself a brand new BMW 1 Series as well. We're going to give it away. It's incredible. It's a 118 IM Sports, got all the mod cons. Hugh Keevans loves the heated seats at this time of year, as you would expect. And all you need to do to win it is text the word CAR to 64901. That's C-A-R to 64901. The text costs your standard network fee plus a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. Now every penny of that fiver goes to children that need your help, and then you might win the car as well. I keep describing it as the ultimate win-win. I've yet to come up with a better way of describing it, because I think that really does cover it off. It's a great opportunity. Send the text. You're in the draw thanks to Arnold Clark. It's over 18s only. Full T's and C's at Clyde1.com, and the entries close at 6pm Saturday the 16th of December. So that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pearce, Scotland's premier structural steelwork specialist, proud to support the local community.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly's here, Hugh Keevans is alongside him, and what they've both got in common is they're waiting for you to get in touch. So let's hear it on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB as we pick over what the managers have and haven't said in their press conference duties today, all building up to big games tomorrow as well, and across the weekend. Sunday, of course, championship action this Friday night. Kelly Celtic not until Sunday. So you've got a few days worth of football to preview. Let's continue on that road with David, who's in Eaglesham. How's it going, David?
Hi, how you doing, Gordon, Simon and Hugh? Just listen to the calls here about juggling players around, see Matthew in the middle. You're forgetting Kemar Roofe's fit. He's probably the best striker we've got anyway. Mm. Yeah, I would play in front of the other two anyway, so don't see a problem at all. You don't need to juggle in a bit.
The phrase might be Kemar Roofe is fit for the moment. Because the poor man has had a career dogged by injury. So, you know, the Rangers have to be careful with him, and they can't hang their hat on Kemar Roofe in case it happens again. The Rangers will work on that aspect of his game. Philippe Clement has already said that he will do that. But at the moment, yes, he's there, and yes, he's available. We'll need to see how his health and strength holds up.
Is that fair, David? Has he got the robustness? I mean, none of us know for sure, but obviously you're sort of conditioned into looking at the numbers over the last couple of seasons. He's played 11 times this season, which sounds a lot, but Rangers have played 27 games as a club, so he's played in 11 of them. I think he played in 6 last season. You're right on his day, clearly very good, but can you rely on him?
Yeah, you can rely on him if he's fit, 100%. I wouldn't have any
problem. No, that's what I mean, though. Like, the fitness thing has to come into it. Are you confident, you know, he's there for this stretch and you know, plays all the time and is fit all the time and available?
Well, we're talking 5 games anyway, so if he doesn't fit after 5 games, then you can get another striker if that had to happen. But I'd be quite sure he'll be fit for. He'll be fit enough to play. Definitely, aye.
Yeah,
he was looking good the other night, but come on, he looked fit enough to me, so.
I don't mind the optimism, nothing wrong with it. You know, other people are just beaten down by the constant annoyance of thinking that Kemar Roofe's going to be fit and available. And as David says, I think lots of people would agree. Maybe he is the best striker Rangers have got still.
Yeah,
but you just don't feel like we ever see enough of him to know for sure.
Yeah, he never really seems to nail down a run in the team. He's always been picking up injuries. I think the Rangers fans out there are probably suggesting Seymour just because of purely the form he's in, you know, in front of goal. He's got 12 goals this season, and he'll be confident, you know. And as I said earlier on, it looks for me, obviously playing in the wide areas, he likes to go in behind. He doesn't really want to show his feet, and that can be a threat, you know, particularly if you move him into a central area. He's quick as well.
He should have scored more at Tynecastle midweek. And there is that aspect to his game that sometimes it can be hit or miss. But right now, he looks as if he's enjoying his football. He looks sharp. He could be sharper. But right now, he, I think, would be first choice.
Is Tom Lawrence a blow, David? Or, again, are there other options there that make you feel comfortable with it?
It's a bit of a blow, but no, I think there'll be other options here. You know, John Lindstrom's having a good spell at the moment. I like Cantwell. To me, Cantwell's the best player by a mile in the Rangers team, but he's on form in the right position. I don't have a problem in the midfield, no, not really, no.
Maybe a big opportunity for Cifuentes, Hugh. It was classic Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard Fair last night.
I
the
heard
very
it.
First caller was angry because it took Jose Cifuentes too long to get his gold chain off to come onto the pitch at Tynecastle. We then started having a big argument about how long it should or shouldn't take for your jewellery to come off. Well, and then a real debate, that word you mentioned. One caller would say he was a dud. The next guy said he was great at Tynecastle. Yeah. As usual, the truth probably in the middle.
I don't know whether it's old codgerism or not, but I don't see why he's sitting on the subs bench wearing jewellery.
I knew you would be on that side of it. Yeah, that's my fault, because I didn't mean to reignite this Jose Cifuentes.
I agree with you.
Jewellery debate. It was brought up by a caller. That wasn't even something I was.
You should be. You know, you have all sorts of examples of players who suddenly realise they haven't brought their strip out with them, and all of that other stuff that goes on. Mikey Johnson, I heard the caller also reference him at halftime at St Johnstone coming on.
Oh, that was Mark Wilson that referenced the shin pads.
So you should be ready. You should be sitting there. I mean, I have no problem with it. You can wear earrings. And
anyway. What I meant was, it's an opportunity for him, perhaps, Simon. You know, the Philippe Clement was kind of favouring those two more holding types, if you like. So, you know, Lundstrom and Jack, Lundstrom, Raskin, who's injured, Cifuentes. Lawrence had gone in there and kind of surprised people that was the option. Maybe that was going to work out, though, and it's going to have to revert back to something a bit more familiar, you would imagine.
It was regarding Cifuentes.
Yeah, just that kind of, like, you know, the two so-called defensive midfielders,
yeah,
rather than
listen,
one.
I think that I watched the European game, Rangers, last week, and I didn't think...
Yeah, you get sticked, didn't you?
It was great at all, you know, so I think he's still to, I think, win the Rangers fans over. He's got an opportunity now, similar to maybe Mikey Johnson at Celtic. You have to go in and state your claim. You have to, you know, make that position your own.
Only he can do it, Simon. You know, I mean,
I think you've got to ask questions there. Where is it? David is mentioning Lundstrom. They've been there before. He's having a good spell. You know, the manager's still looking to guys that have been there, you know, rather than the new guys. So there's obviously something there.
You need someone alongside him, though, anyway.
But there's obviously a reason for him not being. He didn't start against Hearts, so David, he needs to go and impress.
Straightforward enough this weekend, or can Dundee come and cause any difficulties?
I don't think so. No, it'll be straightforward. The both of them will win every game up to the Old Firm game. There you go.
When the last Dundee Rangers game ended in a 5-0 win for Rangers in Dundee, then you can't have a case to make for Tony Docherty's side.
I think that was definitely Dundee's worst showing of the season, though, wasn't it? I mean, they've been pretty good.
Yeah, Tony Dock has done an outstanding job there. I'm not entirely sure that I agree with David that both teams will go without dropping points until December 30. I think there might be a wee twist somewhere. But with regard to tomorrow's match in isolation, I would put the house on Rangers.
Oh, Mrs. Keevans, I am so sorry, because you just know the way that's going to end up. I shouldn't even ask anymore. It's my fault. Thank you, David. It's time to play already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is the final Beat the Pundit of the week. Gordon DL hammered last night. Hammered he was. So let's see if we can make it two in a row for the listeners. It's 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are here, and I owe you two and the listening public an apology. I give you false information. We are going for three in a row for the listeners tonight, because Charlie Mulgrew lost on Wednesday, Gordon DL lost on Thursday. It has been a classic week so far for the listeners. So let's play tonight.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Keep the calls coming. We'll get back to the football discussion very soon indeed. So get in touch, 0141 951 1025. But in the meantime, let's play. Gary is in Kilsyth. How's it going, Gary?
Yeah, not too bad. How about yourself?
Not bad, not bad. Most people who come on, Gary, it's their first time, but I think you've got an appearance under your belt, is that right?
That's true, yes. I've been on once, but it was a few years ago, and I got beat by Hugh Keevans.
Oh,
rematch.
It takes a certain sort of man to come on here and admit that.
Yeah.
I'd never tell anyone if that was the case, but there we are. Was it comprehensive, Gary, or was it close?
No, it was quite close. I think it beat me by 2, I think it was, but it was tight.
Okay, let's see what we do tonight then. If it's heads, it will be the rematch. If it's tails, it will be Simon Donnelly, who takes on Gary and Kilsyth. And it is, I'm afraid, it's Simon against Gary Hugh. So kick back, loosen that necktie, and enjoy.
No, I hired this as well.
As Simon plays, we'll give Simon some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. We'll put 30 seconds on the clock, and your instructions are exactly the same, Gary. We're that repetitive. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No problem.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who's played more games this season, James Forrest or Rio Hatate?
Rio Hatate.
Who scored Rangers' only goal in the Europa League final last season? Last year, sorry.
Pass.
Name the last side Scotland men's team beat.
Georgia.
Martin Comston played for which Scottish football team?
Martin.
Which St Johnstone player is the only Bulgarian international in the Scottish top flight?
Pass.
Name any team who compete in the Angus Derby.
Pass.
Okay, Simon Donnelly, can you hear us? Simon Donnelly, are you back?
I am back.
Good. Yes. Right, what were you listening to there?
Prince.
Right, okay. Because we've discovered
Party when, like it's 1999.
Right, when Hugh was only 60 back then as well. Incredible. Right, 30 seconds, Simon. Your time starts now. Who's played more games this season, James Forrest or Rio Hatate?
Hatate.
Who scored Rangers' only goal in the Europa League final?
Pass.
Recently. Name the last side Scotland men's team beat.
Georgia.
Martin Comston played for which Scottish football team?
Morton.
Which St Johnstone player is the only Bulgarian international in
Pass.
The top flight?
Pass.
Name any team who compete in the Angus Derby.
Pass. Shocker.
Wow. What a rubbish standard for a Friday night, Gary. What do you think?
Was Gary rubbish as well?
That's me telling Gary we're rubbish.
Same answers. That's what I said.
James Forrest or Rio Hatate? I mean, it's a 50-50 and you both went the wrong one.
Seriously?
Yeah. Forrest's got 14, Hatate 10. I ended up having verbal diarrhea on this because my sheet says Rangers Europa League final last year. Would it have been the year before last, wasn't it?
Joe Rebo.
It was Joe Rebo. You didn't get it though, Gary?
It was.
What happened? Did you panic under the pressure?
No, I just didn't. I panicked,
you're
right.
No, you got it. You both went Georgia as well when the answer was Cyprus.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Look, the thing is, right, you look at all the actual
I think Martin Comston, mate.
All the actual football questions. The one that you got was,
did Gary get it as well?
Was Martin Comston, Morton. And the producers are telling me May 2022, which is right for Rangers. So last year, but I think I said last season initially.
Did Gary get Comston?
Yeah, you both got it. So Morton, the only Bulgarian international in the Scottish top flight. I thought you'd have got it. Mitov, the goalie. He's been excellent.
But he was watching his saves the other night. Aye.
He has been excellent.
And
any team who compete in the Angus Derby.
Arbroath.
You used to be the assistant manager
Dundee United.
Of Brechin. You were the Brechin assistant. That illustrious 3 days that you had.
42 days.
Along with, was it 42, was it?
42.
Along with Mark Wilson, you had the choice of our Arbroath Montrose forfeit or Brechin. Wow, that
was. So is that one each?
Stinking one each. Let's go to the tiebreaker. Here is the deep. Oh, we've got the tense music already. I will ask the question. I'll get Simon to write his answer down, and I'll then invite Gary to give me his attempt. The question is, how many players have scored a hat trick for Scotland men's team? Write it down. How many players have scored a hat trick for Scotland men's team? Let's
ever.
See it, please. Ever. Simon, write it down if you can. Oh, wow, Gary, what are you going for?
Six.
Six. Simon says 4.
Yeah.
It's 33. Oh, so, I mean, even the tiebreaker was terrible. Gary was miles off, but he was still closer than you.
Well done,
it is
Gary.
3 in a row for the listeners. Well done, Gary.
33.
I'm surprised at that myself.
Take the win.
Take the win, Gary. That's it. The sign ball is on its way. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, Gary.
It's on its way. You'll be lucky to have it by next Christmas.
You're talking about 150 years of international football. So back in the dim and distant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of Patricks.
I mean, even in the last couple of seasons, well, last couple of, you know, few years, McGinn, James Forrest, Stephen Fletcher, Robert Snodgrass, they're all within like the last.
So you named four, and I'm
moving
there.
Yeah. No, so, I'm still surprised it's as high as 33. Is that the number of hat tricks or the number of hat trick scorers, producers? Is that definitely the number of different? The number of independent hat. You see what I mean, Hugh? Because I think some players might have a couple. Or,
but I think, you know, if you went back to 1873,
sure,
when the first international was played.
I mean, we invented football, obviously.
Yeah.
So
between 1873 and 1900, who knows what went on?
Very true. It doesn't matter in the end because
that's possibly my worst display.
That was
ever.
Horrible. That was utterly Put horrible.
Behind us.
The only question either of you got was about Martin Compston.
Yeah.
There you go, what can you do?
In the line of duty they got.
I see what you did there. Right, 01419511025, that's the number you need. And we are on Twitter as well, at ClydeSSB. We are looking ahead to the weekend's action. A few talking points from the managers who've done their press conferences today as well. We're only day two getting over the midweek action, but they do come thick and fast at this time of the year, as I'm sure you will know. Let's hear from some more managers. Derek McInnes is confident enough in his side taking on Celtic this weekend, especially beating them already this season and based on their current home form.
We're strong at home. Celtic have got obvious advantages over Kilmarnock, but we've got a lot of things that we can tap into. Our home form, the fact that a lot of teams don't like coming and playing here, and the fact that we've beaten already this season, and the majority of those players who were part of that team will be involved at the end of Sunday. I think most teams now, when they play Rangers and Celtic, feel there's a chance against them. I don't think I'm alone in that, and I think it's important that my players feel that as well going into the game on Sunday. So the reference for us is the last game, how much we did right in the game. I was really impressed and pleased with a lot of it. I was also pleased with a lot of what we got at Celtic Park, even though we lost the game.
That's all well and good, Simon, in Kilmarnock, but you're one more injury away from you playing in midfield, are you not?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say that. Like, my heart bleeds hearing all the Rangers fans talk about their injuries, and Celtic only got to spend $15 million on players this summer. My heart bleeds. We've got one fit midfielder, Liam Power. Obviously, David Watson's fit, but he's suspended. So, yeah, it's going to be a really interesting lineup on Sunday.
That's a real shame, that one, isn't it? Because I know you all love him down there, understandably. You know, new contract, had a hand in the goal, I think, at the weekend. And then, oh no, sorry, not the goal at the weekend, but, you know, set up a couple of chances at the weekend and then scored a wonderful goal at Pittodrie the other night. Frustrating to have him unavailable.
Yeah, absolutely. He's top quality player. You know, 18 years old, he's absolutely phenomenal. You know, what an engine he's got on him. Great attitude as well. McInnes has spoke a few times about the areas of his game that he felt he could improve, and he stayed behind late in training to do it. And, you know, just rewards for that on Wednesday. I was humming and hawing. I almost made a last minute decision not to go, but I decided just to go it. And, you know, rewards for, there's only missed one other game all season, that was in the League Cup. So finally seen his one away from home. And, you know, I'm looking forward to Sunday, even though I think it's going to be, you know, obviously a difficult game.
Like, I always try and explain this, the mentality when you're a fan of a so-called small team, Simon, and it can go one of two ways. You're either confident that you can beat Celtic because you've done it already, so you base it on that, or you say, oh, what are the chances of us doing it twice? You know, and have you used your one up for this season, sort of thing? Which one? You sound to me a bit more of an optimist.
Yeah, I agree kind of what Derek was saying in the comments you just played there. No team in Scotland are scared of Rangers or Celtic at the moment. They're simply not. You know, neither team are fantastic. You know, they're both eminently beatable, as has been shown this season. I think that if we had all our players available, you know, that are especially in midfield, you know, Lyons being a doubt, he's been excellent. I sort of alongside Watson, that's so much energy in the midfield. I think if those players were available, we'd stand a better chance. I think we'll score. We'll definitely be able to score goals. We've got the best set-piece record in the league, most headers scored in the league, and Joe Hart couldn't catch a cold, so I think we'll be firing the ball on top of him a lot. I think at the moment we're going to have to put Lewis Mayo into midfield, who's played there before. You know, I think he's got the technical ability and the engine to do that role, and looking at that, thanks to Michael Beale for selling him to us for £50,000, that's a big absolute bargain, because that boy is going to the very top.
The optimism lies with Kilmarnock. In spite of the injuries and suspension, they've beaten Celtic before this season and at Rugby Park. The vulnerability lies with Celtic, as Simon has pointed out, showed Joe Hart a set piece at the moment, and a calamity might be around the corner. Brendan Rodgers had his rant for a reason, and the reason was that whether it was complacency or, as he put it, a lack of ambition at times, a first half performance of the type that Celtic gave at St Johnstone and Kilmarnock could be in there with the opening goal of the game. Back to the point with Joe Hart, you know, Celtic have got to get another goalkeeper. You cannot look at starting next season. I would suggest you cannot look at starting January without a new goalkeeper to put Joe Hart under pressure, because he is simply, at the moment, a potential liability. So there is nothing definite about Rugby Park, in spite of all the problems that Kilmarnock have. Which Celtic team turn up? The one that is soft and can be bullied, or the one that can score four goals against Hibs?
Yeah, Simon, from a Celtic perspective, is that still the type of fixture that fills you with a bit of worry, a bit of dread?
It does, yeah, because as Derek McInnes said there, they'll take a lot of confidence from the League Cup game. Traditionally, it's add the plastic pitch in. It is difficult to go there and get a result. I know Celtic in recent times have went down there and scored, I think, five, and I think they'd won last year that was reasonably comfortable, but I think it'll be a difficult game. I really do. I think Celtic will need to go out there fully focused with the job in hand to get the 3 points, because I think you just add the confidence that the Kilmarnock team, I know Simon there's saying about injuries and stuff, and what a goal the kid scored the other night.
Brilliant,
so he's
it?
Suspended tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sunday rather. It was a fantastic goal. They'll take a lot of confidence. That's a big result. They're sitting, I think, mid-table. You know, they're doing all right, Kilmarnock.
There is another potential subconscious dimension insofar as if Rangers beat Dundee, and if they don't, I've lost my home. If Rangers beat Dundee, then, you know, the lead is reduced to 5 points, and Celtic then, and Rangers with a game in hand, Celtic then cannot afford to leave Ayrshire with anything less than 3 points.
Simon, the home form would definitely still be considered good. It's not bulletproof. I mean, losing at home to Hearts in the last game at Rugby Park, is that concern you? Does it give you any less confidence, or do these games kind of take on a different feel, because it's a very different job sometimes that teams need to do?
Nah, it doesn't really concern me. Our home form's still excellent. Still, I think St Mirren, alongside St Mirren, the best outside Rangers and Celtic. Looking at the game, you know, I know Hugh there saying that the lead at the top's cut to 5 points. The way I'm looking at it is, if we win and other results go away, we're third. So we're very close to it. So it's a, you know, it's a big game for us as well. However, talking about the injuries and, you know, players being doubts, I personally wouldn't risk Lions in particular, or Rory McKenzie, if they're not 100%, because we've got more winnable games and more important games for us coming up, like Livy, St Johnstone, St Mirren, Dundee as a run after that. You know, all of those are very winnable, so I'd much rather have guys like Brad Lyons available for those games than, you know, risk him against Celtic, which we might lose anyway, because Celtic obviously are a better team than us. So I'm looking forward to it. I think I actually hope that Celtic play all. I hope they stick with him. You know, he came on last season at Rugby Park. We handled him fantastically well. He should have been sent off in that game as well for a high boot. So I think I'd rather they play him ahead of Kyogo. But, you know, looking at our defence is excellent this season. So, you know, you've got to have confidence. If you don't have confidence going into the game, so what's the point in going?
I think that, you know, that can still be true, where opposition fans still fear O less than Kyogo because of what he's done. It's just kind of natural. But at the same time, I mean, would you expect O to start, given how well he did the other night?
Yeah, I think he will start. I think he's taking his chance. I think the game will be more physical, and I think that will suit O more than the likes of Kyogo. I think Kyogo at the moment will just need to be taken out the firing line a wee bit. And I'd expect, you know, he scored two goals in the game before. You'd expect him to lead the line on Sunday as well.
If you give me a choice on any given Saturday or Sunday, I'll have Kyogo. But there has been this suggestion that Brendan Rodgers deploys him in a way that's not helping Kyogo. he's not as prolific, doesn't look as prolific as he has been for Celtic under Ange Postecoglou. But I still think that he's a better player than O. But I do agree with Simon that on the back of the two goals against Hibs and the physicality that he brings, I suspect that Brendan Rodgers will go with O.
Now, before we say bye to Simon, because this might be the last time, or one of the last times we talk to him about it, Brendan Rodgers hopes the trip to Killie is one of the last times Celtic will have to play on an artificial pitch.
It's clear that every coach would want to play, I'm pretty sure, on a grass pitch. So I think the sooner that is, the possibility up here, then the better it will be for everyone. I understand the economics of it all and what it will mean to some clubs, but I think there should be a certain level and a certain standard of which every team, if you're playing in the top flight, should have a grass pitch.
Simon, do you feel almost free of this? That, you know, Killie are the ones that are planning to get rid of it, Livy are the ones that are sort of fighting the cause a bit more. Do you feel like you're ready to stop defending the plastic pitch? Are you excited about the prospect?
No, I wouldn't go say I'm excited about the prospect of stopping the chat. I actually think it's quite funny how much it's in the head of especially guys like Brendan Rodgers. You know, if you're a good coach, you can win in that football park. Celtic showed that under Ange Postecoglou. You know, you can. The thing with plastic parks is that it brings out, for you obviously play amateur football yourself, Gordon, as well, so you'll know that if it's a plastic park, it brings out the weaknesses in your play, and it's better players that play well on it. I think, you know, Rodgers used the excuse the last time we beat them, mentioning a few of these boys have never been on plastic parks, whereas when looking at it, Lager Bielka, who played that game, just came for a full season on a plastic pitch. So for me, it's not a massive issue. I think it's actually quite funny the way it gets into people's heads. I think, you know, the training ground is going to be fantastic for us when it gets built. You know, when we were in Glasgow, when we had grass last, we were training in Glasgow at the University of Glasgow, and we were paying close to, I think it was between 500,000 and $750,000 every year to use those training facilities. It's just outrageous for a club of our size. And it also meant that we had players in our team who were living in Glasgow, training in Glasgow, and the only time they ever came to the town was on match day. Right now, we've got a squad of players who live in the area, who shop in the area, who go and do community things in the area. It brought fans closer to the team. It's brought the players closer. And, you know, we feel as a community club at the moment. So, you know, that wouldn't be possible with a plastic pitch. So I don't care if people don't like it. It's probably not going to go away because the voting structure in Scotland, I think Kilmarnock would still vote to keep them, even though, you know, we're getting rid of ours. I don't think it should be a prerequisite that you have grass, especially until Rangers and Celtic especially sit down and talk about a fairer distribution of the wealth, so clubs like Livingston, you know, can afford to put grass down and maybe build a training ground of their own.
See, you articulate that so well, you just know the way this show works. Not many people are going to agree. The phone lines are about to say, give other people money.
I take the point about the distribution of wealth, but that's another subject for me. I think it is a big deal. I think when coaches... Yeah,
that's David Martindale saying Livy can't afford it.
Well, Livy, I think, are a unique case. Kilmarnock are fortunate to have Billy Bowie, a very successful businessman, and
where do you draw the line? So it's only if you can't afford it that you're allowed, but if you actually think your money would be better spent
I just think that in general terms it's a big deal because it's not for the 21st century. When the Clement came here and looked at artificial pitches, you know, he's looking at you as if he's in outer space. That it should be played in grass. It's out of step with modern day football, and I do think it affects the game. It televises badly.
It certainly doesn't look great. I think we could all probably agree there. We've been down this route many times before. But anyway, Simon, thank you very much. We will leave it there. Enjoy your weekend. And before we go any further, always looking to try and help you out one way or another, let me tell you about Allied Vehicles Recruitment Open Day. It's a week today, Friday the 15th, 11 to 7, and they've got 57 vacancies in Glasgow, from vehicle and production assembly to welders, machine operators. And get this, for an added bonus, the roles are over a 4-day working week. The sound of that, I must say. 27 days of holidays, including the public ones. So you never know. I know it's a tough time of year. Maybe you're looking for some work. Why not get involved? Successful candidates can anticipate receiving an employment offer within a week. Could start as early as January 2024. So go to Clyde1.com, click Allied Vehicles for all the details, and I will be back with a full time teaser next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Keep those calls coming in. We're looking ahead to the weekend's action, discussing the talking points that have come out of the managerial press conferences and so on. But if you've got something entirely different, you'd like to just change the topic, why not do it? 0141 951 1025 or tweet us at Clyde SSB. I'll throw the producer under the bus. Do you know what he said to me about this teaser tonight? He said it's a bit older, which may suit Hugh and Simon.
Oh, incredible. You get lumped in with my urine bother.
I'm getting there.
Just to actually, on that note, right, so we've just come from the Cash for Kids lunch, as we said earlier, hence why Hugh and I are dressed up a bit. And Alan Gow was at our table. You remember Alan Gow?
Yeah.
You know, it's like an ongoing theme on this show how Gordon DL has got like no idea of like when he played compared to when other people played. Yeah. Like, can't really remember Mark Wilson's career and so on. Just as I was leaving, I heard him lean over to Alan Gow, who he is exactly 20 years older than.
Yeah.
He's 20 years older than him, maybe 21 years older, and said, "Alan, did I play against you?" What's wrong with this guy? But anyway, we'll catch up with those
so
two.
Does that mean that he thinks Alan Gow looks older?
Or that he's younger? Who knows?
Yeah.
He's a complex character, as I'm sure you'll agree.
Complex is maybe not the word I would use, but
Let's get tonight's question up and running.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
It is a good question, though, I must admit. Thank you to Steve Gregor's wife for sending this one in. Mrs. Gregor, I guess. I don't know. I can help you a little bit if you need with the clubs that you're looking for. But at a very basic level, can you name the 10 managers who were in charge of the teams? Come on. Come
is that
on.
The, is that the Nokia?
Nokia in full flow. Do you want to answer it live on air?
I'm on the radio, dear.
Sensational.
You thank
know,
you very much.
You know, he's only done it 6 to 8 every Friday for 45 years.
And I've only been married for 52 years. You think your wife would know what you do for a living?
Yes,
wouldn't you?
Yes.
Standards. What broadcasting standards have we stooped to? Can you name the 10 managers who were in charge of the teams when the SPL began?
Wow.
In 1998. So the very first season of the SPL, new and shiny. August 1998, there were 10 teams.
Venglos.
Yes. Was in charge of Celtic, well done.
Walter Smith?
No.
Advocaat?
Yes. This is peak Simon Donnelly era, surely.
That's all. That's where I stop.
If I need to tell you the teams, I will, because I don't want you to start naming like all the different managers of a team that weren't even in the league.
Was Jim Jeffries the Hearts manager?
He was. Well yeah. done, Hugh Evans.
Was Jim Duffy Hibs?
Now, here's the thing. This is where it gets difficult. Because I can see why you would go there. Hibs were not in the top flight that season. See, so it's
even down.
Gets a bit trickier. Who would be the nailed on teams?
Aberdeen.
Yep.
Aberdeen.
Who are the only three teams in my lifetime who've not been outside of Scotland's top flight?
The well.
Yes.
So who's the manager there?
So you've got, you know, you
was
need
it, seen Ebby Scrovdale
for Aberdeen? Aberdeen. No. So you need Aberdeen. You need Motherwell. You've established them. I'll give you the rest if you need them. It's not a bad start. Any others that spring to mind?
Aberdeen. Roy Aiken?
No.
Tommy McLean?
At Dundee United?
Yeah.
Yes. Well done, Tommy McLean. Okay, we'll leave it there. It's a great question. Go on then. Dig around in your memory bank. 1998, the first SPL season, 10 teams. Who were the 10 managers? Joe Venglos, Dick Advocaat, Jim Jeffries Hearts, Tommy McLean, Dundee United. We will try and get the rest of the answers between now and the end of the show. Thanks again to Steve Gregor's wife for sending it in.
Thanks to my wife for phoning in.
And thanks to Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride for helping us out. Make sure you check out their trade counter on Colville's Road as well.
And thanks to Joanne at Glasgow Central. I have to get the mention in. She was, got the tickets for me to go to see the grandkids in Brighton. She saw a dimwit coming towards her who needed tickets and didn't quite know how to go about doing it.
Do you just turn up at Central Station, just stand under the clock, just sort of looking around?
No, I walked into the ticket office and Joanne listens to Super Scoreboard and she just was wonderful. She got it all sorted in 2 minutes.
He's just that influential in Glasgow and the West. He was telling us Mrs. Keevan's got a discount on a scarf the
other
day,
yeah,
by virtue of the surname. Imagine that power.
And because of Super Scoreboard, the gentleman in question discounted on the scarf because he said...
Where are you off to? Brighton?
Yeah, I've got to see the grandkids, yeah.
When are you off down there?
Sunday.
Very good.
Oh, chaos in the roster and the schedule for next week. Who knows who's in what night next week, let me tell you. See, this just shows you, Hugh, the old traditional way of doing things. It's lost in the young whippersnappers through in the production or room or box, whatever it's called. They're ridiculing you and saying there is no ticket office you can walk into at Central Station.
There is.
Yes, there is, I think you will find.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
These guys have just gone on their train line app or whatever. But no,
you go in and ask for Joanne because she's the sharpest in the box.
Anyway, right, we'll get back to that full time teaser. Almost certainly, we're looking ahead to the weekend's fixtures as well. Reflecting on anything that's been said by the managers and so on at their press conferences today, let's bring in John, who's on the line. How's it going, John?
Hi, Gordon, you and Simon.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, John.
A couple of points, more maybe to you, Simon, here. The other night I tried to go on about playing Iwata, and I think with a bit of luck Brendan's found this. I think when Iwata plays, it frees Calmack to go forward more, and I think Celtic look more dangerous when he plays a bit, going a bit forward, when especially when we need the goals. I think Iwata brings more of a calming influence. They can know he's a better defender. And talk about Mikey Johnson. I'm not a fan of the boy. I think the boy's got loads of talent, but I think Hugh and Simon, this guy maybe a Hibs or a Hearts or an Aberdeen, he would excel. I think Celtic are too big a club for him, because he's been, as Simon says, he's not a boy anymore. He's 24 years of age. And he's too inconsistent, as far as I'm concerned. Just want to know what you think.
Iwata, I like that one. Just sorry, put that to Simon Hugh. What was different about Celtic's midfield? Did it work? Is it something that you think will be stuck with?
I think we touched on it a few weeks ago when we were trying to think who that third midfielder would be. And I mentioned to Moki at the time. And I think Brendan said himself that he would have played a lot more, but there's been times where he's not been available through injury and such like. So I think he did well the other night. I like him in that area. He seems to be a good reader of the game. He came with a big reputation, this guy, but arguably his career at Celtic hasn't really kicked off the way he would have liked. I think this is a chance to bed himself in there. And I agree with John. I like seeing Callum McGregor playing further forward. I think that was where he kind of came into the team. He's found himself playing in a deeper role after Scott Brown and doing it well, may I add, but I think there's a lot more to his game. Pops up with the goal at the weekend. So, yes, I would think Iwata would get a run in the team just now on the back of his performance.
With regard to Mikey Johnson, I think he's now at the crossroads of his career in terms of Celtic, because there's such a demanding end to the season now. And the league is not yet a foregone conclusion. And Mikey Johnson has the opportunity to make a serious contribution. The level of contribution he makes will, I think, determine whether or not he's a Celtic player next season.
Definitely not for you, John. We've had a lot. I mean, I can't remember the caller's name. Forgive me. Someone said they thought he would be like a new signing the other night. You're not buying that stuff?
No, as I said, I've spoke to you and Daza and Mark before about this. I think they say there's some players that come to Celtic and Rangers. I just think it's too big a club for them. I think there's too much pressure on them. As they say, he played well. I'll give the boys due. He played well when he came on against St Johnson. Then last, and against Hibs all night, it was just back to sort of very mediocre again, as far as I'm concerned. So it was.
Did he struggle a bit the other night, Simon, to get going?
I wouldn't say he struggled. He had a quiet game. I think he won the corner for the first goal 4 or 5 minutes in. I think Palmer was more influential on the other side. I think I seen an interview. I was doing the Celtic TV stuff, and I seen an interview with Mikey Johnson, and he says himself, more or less, this is his chance, his last chance. He's 24. Is he in a better place to handle playing for Celtic? Time will tell. I would love to see him go and take the opportunity. I think the positive he needs to take is the manager showed a lot of belief in him, but you've got to go out and do it. You've got to go out and perform.
The thing is about that, Hugh, the reason it's probably such an accurate statement about being a crossroads is because we probably could have said that before a couple of times. So if it wasn't then it kind of must be now. How many crossroads can you get to?
I think because Brendan Rodgers has put the signposts up. He's 24. He's not a young man anymore. He must do more on the park. Now, that's not a threat. That's simply the manager offering advice. I'd like to keep you. I think you are talented, but you've got to give me more.
Yeah.
It's not an unreasonable request. And the player can't say the manager's being unreasonable because, you know, does he himself believe that he's doing enough? As I say, Celtic have games between now and the end of the season which will determine the outcome of the title race. December 30, for example, will be pivotal in the title race when Celtic play Rangers, and he's got to give the manager more than he is doing at present because Brendan Rodgers has told him that he must do that.
Just to revisit an earlier theme, John, Brendan Rodgers was talking about maybe looking at new attackers in January. Where do you stand on the Miovski debate?
Well, I was on one of the blogs the other day. I think I would really like him to come to Celtic because I know he's maybe not the big signing, would you call it, for the European stage, but he knows how to score in the Premiership, and I think he's a good player. He's quite a big, strong boy as well. I think he'd be a good signing for Celtic, maybe not be straight into the team, but I think he'd be a good backup for like Kyogo, and his big O's starting to take his chances now. He's starting to come on a wee bit now, but I would take Miovski. I like Shankland too, but I think, to be truthful, I think Warren Shankland has got his heart set on a move to Rangers. He's a big Rangers man. So I think Lawrence has got his heart set in Rangers coming in for him. But I would take Miovski, aye. I think it would be much. I'd even give a couple of players out money to Aberdeen. Do I mean to help them out?
Miovski's a big Celtic man, perhaps. Maybe. I just don't know it yet. Thank you to John.
He's in the North Macedonian Celtic supporters club.
On the line. Any more on that teaser quickly? The 10 managers who were in charge of
Alex
teams
McLeish.
In the SPL when it began in 98.
McLeish, Motherwell.
No. It's a tricky one, that.
Was Roy Aitken at St Mirren?
No. No. St Mirren weren't in the league either.
Dunfermline were in the league, weren't they?
Uh-huh. Bert Payton. Yes, Simon Donnelly. What a shout that is. I thought that was the hardest of the lot.
There we go.
Bert Payton. Brilliant. Right, before we go any further, let me tell you about this.
Cash for Kids. Mission Christmas. With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
I should say, let me retell you about this. I know not everyone would have been listening earlier on, and it is certainly worth repeating, even if you were. As you could probably see just a second ago by the high-end Christmas decorations that we have in here, that time of the year is very much upon us, and we're excited, and lots of people are excited, but the reality is, for so many people on your doorstep, it's not really an exciting time at all. It's stressful, it's a time filled with worry. Before you even get to presents, can you heat the house? Can you clothe the kids? Can you feed the children? And we're just trying to make a bit of a difference this Christmas, like we do pretty much every year. Cash for Kids Mission Christmas is back. And because of the cost of living crisis, things are bound to be much worse than even normal this year. So what we've done is teamed up with Arnold Clark, and a big thanks to Arnold Clark. And we have got the ultimate win-win scenario for you. Basically, you text the word CAR to 64901. That's C-A-R to 64901. It's your standard network fee for a message, and then a £5 donation to Cash for Kids, which will make such a difference, and we thank you in advance for that. But even by sending the text, you then go into the draw for a brand new BMW 1 Series, which we're going to give away. It is a stunning car. It is all kitted out with all the mod cons you would want. So what's not to like? A fiver to charity, a fiver to Cash for Kids when these children really need your help, and potentially a brand new BMW as well. The entries close 6pm Saturday 16th December. Over 18s only. All T's and C's at Clyde1.com. So send that text, give us a call, you Motherwell fans. Perhaps we'll look at the teams down the bottom of the league when we return after these.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
On the home straight then with Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly. And after a long, long time in this show, I've eventually found the type of teaser that suits these two down to
could,
the ground.
Could this not have been
old?
Beat the Pundit 1998.
They're actually flying on this question, I must admit. Thanks to Steve Gregor's wife for sending this one in. Can you name the 10 managers who were in charge of the teams in the SPL when the league began in 1998? Joe Venglos was at Celtic, Dick Advocaat was at Rangers, Jim Jeffries at Hearts, Tommy McLean at Dundee United. Ah, these glory days. And you, the best answer so far, easily, you remembered that Dunfermline were in the league, and you told me that Bert Payton was the manager. And I've been listening in to you over the break, and you're absolutely flying here.
Jockey Scott at Dundee.
Wonderful.
Paul Sturrock, St Johnstone.
Even better.
And Bobby Williamson, Kilmarnock.
Honestly, you are on fire. Now, part of the challenge on this question is actually not just the managers, but to first of all remember which teams were in.
Yeah.
You've got two teams left, and no surprise, because I think we said earlier, you've Aberdeen. Got the teams.
Aberdeen and Motherwell.
Okay, so you've got until the end of the show. And speaking of Motherwell, how much does their current manager need a win tomorrow?
Well, no wins in 12. The pressure mounts. The league is such that even with no wins in 12, he's not in any kind of doomed position.
No.
And I think Motherwell will be inclined towards giving Stuart Kettlewell time. But they've got a home game with St Johnstone tomorrow. Now, the old geography teachers get in there at St Johnstone, Craig Levine, and he has steadied the ship and then some. So they will be formidable opponents. I think Stuart has to totter on. If he got a win, great for him and the club and the players. A draw in the current predicament, you'd take it.
I think down there, the league table only tells you so much, Simon, because as Hugh says, it is tight and teams have played, you know, all different number of games. The worrying side of it though for Motherwell, as Hugh says, it's not doomsday, but they are now already 3 points behind Ross County.
Yeah.
And County have a game in hand. St Johnstone, levelling points with St Johnstone. St Johnstone have a game in hand. They are 1 point ahead of Aberdeen, and I know they've got their own woes. Aberdeen have two games in hand.
Yeah.
And they're 4 points ahead of Livy, and again, I know Livy are struggling, but they've also got two games in hand as well. So that combined with the run, Hugh thinks Stuart Kettlewell should totter on for now. How big is tomorrow? Could that be decisive?
Yeah,
think so?
Yeah, it could be. We've looked at recent times with St Johnstone and Ross County changing their manager and possibly getting a little bounce out of it, you know, wins and points on the board. I watched Motherwell get a great point at Celtic Park recently, and I thought, you know, that they would take a lot of heart from that and a lot of confidence to go up to Dingwall and get beat, but not only get beat by three. I think it heaps a lot of pressure on them, and the fact they're at home, am I right in saying, tomorrow against St Johnstone, who have, you know, found a way to pick some points up recently, I think he's under pressure.
Yeah, and as you say, it's that impact that Craig Levine's had. Not only does that make you look around and wonder if you know, changing the manager can have the similar effect for you. But you need to play them tomorrow. You need to overcome them. And Hugh, this week we said it was about, you know, after Celtic, great point, Dundee, Ross County, St Johnstone.
Oh.
1 point so far from the two games. It's a huge week.
In boardrooms, people will look at Craig Levine going to St Johnstone think they are old head. Look at the difference it's made. Ross County re-employed Derek Adams for the third time, and straight away there is improvement, and that makes people think, oh, maybe we should try that. But we've already lost four managers this season. One third of our league has gone in terms of managerial positions, and we're not even at the halfway stage or anything like it. I just think that at the moment, it's a time to hold your nerve, and when we get to the winter break, you know, hold your nerve for four or five games, maybe at Motherwell, maybe even at Aberdeen. They'll think, no, can't afford to do that. But at the moment, Motherwell, I wouldn't be inclined to press the eject button.
The problem is, though, you're saying, you know, people in the boardroom look for blah, but maybe that's part of the problem. The manager always takes the fall. It's just the way it is.
Yep.
It's been 11 months since Alan Burrows announced that he was leaving for Pittodrie. And in the initial announcement, it said that he wouldn't go until a replacement was found. It was 11 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of eventually came out that Derek Weir was acting CEO. But, you know, don't really have that sort of scenario cleared up. You look at recruitment, they sign a lot of players, and it's not really sticking at the moment. You know, I think generally five out-and-out strikers in that match day squad, as they scramble around to replace Kevin Van Veen, but ultimately conceding goals at the other end. Where is that? How do you square all that? Because the manager has to take the fall eventually. It's just the way football works. But what if it's not all his fault?
You know, how could it be all his fault? You know, the players have to take their share of the blame. I just think that the reason why I'm saying there's no need to hit the ejector seat. Two wins in this league could make Motherwell look in an altogether healthier position. So Motherwell at home to St Johnstone tomorrow, you have to regard that as being a game from which you will take some points, one or three. Where I would worry for him, if it was a defeat, and a bad defeat, then automatically no wins in 13, people are going to say, hold on, this is irreversible.
And a bit of tension in the air at Pittodrie, maybe, of a similar note. Well,
they're in a bizarre position, because they've got a cup final a week on Sunday, and you know, for Aberdeen to be second bottom of the league is a disgrace, given the size of the budget they have and the quality of the players. We're talking about the like of Miowski, possible target for Celtic. It's incredible that they are down there, and Hearts will be tough, awkward opponents for them. I don't think that they will do anything until after the cup final is out of the way. Brian Robson will get Barry Robson will get the Hearts game and the cup final. Thereafter, I couldn't be certain.
St Mirren, three defeats in a row for them. They'll be looking to reverse that, of course. Ross County coming to Paisley tomorrow, and Livy, they also need a win as well. Drastically down there, the visit of Hibs not too far for Hibs to travel in that one. So plenty to look forward to tomorrow afternoon. Let's try and round off this teaser. We now know that all you are left with is who was in charge of Aberdeen and who was in charge of Motherwell when the SPL started in August 1998. You've got Joe Venglos at Celtic, Jockey Scott at Dundee, Tommy McLean, Dundee United, Bert Payton, Dunfermline, Jim Jeffries, Hearts, Bobby Williamson, Kilmarnock, Dick Advocaat, Rangers, Paul Sturrock, St Johnstone.
Craig Brown
at
Motherwell.
Oh, you're miles out.
Am I?
Time frame wise, miles out. It's the hardest one on the list.
Motherwell one?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. I thought,
is he Scottish?
Bert Payton, no, he's not. Don't remember Hugh. And that in itself is kind of well known as being a bit of a
Scandinavian.
Yeah,
no, is he? Campman.
Yes.
Bert Campman.
Harry Campman. Oh, I can't believe how much this question suits you.
Is this dug me out the pathetic performance?
I think it might have.
He's producing Harry Campman.
See?
I mean, obviously, it's etched into people from Aberdeen. My part of the world. There we go. The Aberdeen. It's the only one you don't have yet.
Alec Miller.
Yes.
Oh, there's
what a performance. What a performance. He lost at Beat the Pundit, but he was hopeless at Beat the Pundit, but he was good at the full time teaser. It's a really big weekend, this, and you know the fixtures do come thick and fast. We keep saying it. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow, I have to say. 2 o'clock, we will be here. Ibrox, of course, for many of you, will be the main focus in this city, but loads of big games. We're speaking about Motherwell there. What do Aberdeen need to do? Looking ahead, St Mirren trying to get rid of that losing run. Looking ahead to Killy Celtic on Sunday. Hugh will be here. We'll find out how Mark and Gordon are after the Cash for Kids lunch. And it's GBX up next.